Welcome to the Equipers Church Budapest podcast. We hope today's message will encourage and inspire you. For more information, check equiperschurch.hu.
We've had a very special sermon series in the last four Sundays, and this is going to be the closing message from the series that we have called From Fasting to Feasting. From Fasting to Feasting. And we have talked about the book of Esther in the Bible. It is an amazing story, an amazing drama in the Old Testament, the book of Esther, a story of a very simple girl, poor young girl, a slave girl, person who was forcefully moved to a different country, to Persia, she was persecuted, and her nation, the Jewish nation, was persecuted in Persia. But she ascended to the throne, and she became the queen of Persia. I love how God does that. She became what I call the biblical Cinderella, a slave, orphan girl becoming a queen of the most powerful empire in the world. And I love how God does that. He is the one who elevates us. And we've said it many times during this series that position is from the Lord. That God always, He's the one who opens the way for you. He's the one, He can spotlight you wherever you are, and He can open the door for you. And He's going to do that with many of you. How many are expecting for God to do something special in your life? Come on. He's able to do that. And He's the one who opens the door. He's the one who elevates you. He's the one who brings you to a special position of influence. And so tonight is going to be our closing of this series. And just 2 days ago, I read a post on Facebook, one of the pastors that I read and I follow. And this is what he says. He said, God is bringing an end to long-lasting storms, struggles, and setbacks in your life. Amen. I immediately took it for myself. Like, yeah, God, I take that. And he says, many of the battles of January are going to become the breakthroughs of February. If you had a difficult month, some of you maybe went through struggles, went through difficult season this last month. You know, he says, the battles of January are going to become the breakthroughs of February. Get ready to testify. And I have to say myself that, you know, in January, we've had the time of fasting 21 days, maybe already forgotten. But we actually fasted for 21 days, and we were praying intensively and fasting, seeking the face of God, seeking and praying. And, you know, God is so faithful. And even in my old life, I could say I've had at least three significant breakthroughs this last 1 month. Actually, things that I had prayed for maybe for 12 months, the whole last year, and the breakthrough came in those 3 weeks of fasting in January this month. And I want to testify that God is good. He's a faithful God, and He's a God of breakthrough. Come on. Come on. Come on. And even in your life, I want to encourage you to celebrate whenever God does something, you know, significant. When He does something, He answers the prayer you pray for. I want to just encourage you to celebrate that. So even though January was maybe tough, get ready for the breakthroughs in February. So just quickly, you know, a quick reminder. Again, Esther is becoming the queen of Persia. And then there is a crisis in the story. But, you know, the crisis doesn't last forever, and we will actually go into the final stage of that story tonight. But the title of my message tonight, this last part, is Joy Comes in the Morning. Can you turn to your neighbor and says, hey, joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. The book of Esther ends well. The ending in the book of Esther is amazing. And I want to just, I want to remind us tonight that our God is a good God, and that His strength is our, sorry, His joy is our strength. His joy is our strength. Joy comes in the morning. Yeah. You know, many of us, we have grown up in a culture of fear. Even myself, you know, I don't want to be like the old grandpa that looks back, you know, decades ago. But actually, my generation, we grew up in a culture of fear. I remember the day when the Russian president died when I was about 10. And in our schools, it was communism in this part of the world. They told us now the American president is going to drop bombs on us. And I remember the fear, the panic, you know, the kids in the school, that we were taken over by this fear that, wow, something horrible is going to happen. And the whole generation in that time, we lived in the Cold War, and we were expecting something wrong to go on, to go off like any time, any minute. And it wasn't just the culture, it was also in the church. We were in a culture of fear and, you know, kind of the anger of God. The Christianity, the spirituality we knew was very strict and very sober. It was not, you know, we didn't jump and dance and celebrate. It was more like you have to do your thing. It was more of a rules and had to be strict and sober. You still have to be sober, by the way. and then also, you know, in my own temperament, I'm more of an introvert myself. How many introverts in the house? There's like three. There's somebody in the back. I don't believe you, sir. And so we say, in my own family, we say that I am a born-again introvert. And Martha, my wife, she's a burnt-out extrovert. but in my own temperament, you know, I tend to keep the joy to myself. You know what I'm talking about. Yes, I'm happy, but I'm happy very deep inside. Like, people really have to guess that I'm happy. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you have that joy in your heart, but it's buried very deep inside. It doesn't show on your face. It doesn't show in your praise. It doesn't show on the street. People think you are like, I mean, there is something troubling this guy, but you're actually really happy. You just don't show it. Come on, I mean, in this Central European culture, that is the joy, yeah? That is the joy. We love the African and the Latino element in the house. You guys help us with the culture of joy. Come on, yeah. Amazing. But I want to say to every one of you guys that you and nobody else, listen to this, you and nobody else are responsible for your level of joy. Come on, 1% is clapping, everybody is clapping. You are responsible for the joy in your life. God has all the joy in the world for you. Everything you need, every joy is in Him. And you are the one responsible for your level of joy. And I want to say to you, fill up your tank today. Come to the presence of God today and fill up your tank of joy today in Jesus' name. So there are four things I want to go through tonight. Here's the first one. Number one, the forerunner of joy is often persecution. Yeah, so we're going to start with this first one. When you go into the book of Esther, the forerunner of joy is often persecution. Before we experience the joy, we often first experience the pressure. Before the season of joy, there is often the season of persecution. And we've talked about the persecution in the last Sundays, in the last messages. But just a quick run through the book of Esther. Chapter 3, there is a plan to destroy all the Jews. There is a date, there is the budget, there is a strategy. Everything is ready to destroy the whole nation. Everything is ready. In chapter 4, a fast is declared. And for 3 days and three nights, the whole nation, even the queen, they're fasting. They're seeking the Lord. They're saying, God, you have to do something. Now, I don't know if you've ever been this desperate, saying like, God, if you don't save my life, I'm finished. I'm over. There was a high level of desperation. In chapter 5, Esther approaches the king. She comes before the king and she knows she may actually die. She may pay with her own life. And not only that, but Haman, the evil guy, he builds gallows for Mordecai. He has a plan ready to kill Mordecai. I'm sure you've read the book over the last couple of weeks. If not, I'm going to give you a second chance. Haman builds gallows and he wants to hang Mordecai on the gallows. Chapter 6, there is a quick turn, a twist in the story. And Haman, the evil guy, he is forced to honor Mordecai. The guy he wanted to kill, he is forced to honor him. So basically what he does, he takes him through a parade in the citadel, in the capital city. And he says, this is a man that the king wants to honor. How humiliating for him, right? And then in chapter 7, Esther, the queen, she puts on the main banquet and she presents her petition. King, somebody wants to kill my nation. But I pray, I humble myself before you and I ask that you would not allow that. And so the king, Xerxes, he's asking the question, so who is that? Who would want to kill you and your nation? And Esther says, it's Haman, the evil guy whom you have empowered with your ring. You've given him authority. And so what happens at the end of that chapter, the very same Haman who wanted to kill the Jewish nation, the very same Haman who wanted to hang Mordecai on the gallows, he is hanging on the very same gallows that he had built. He is killed by his own weapon. The enemy is killed. He's destroyed by his own weapons. Now, it's such an unexpected turn. The very same enemy that wanted to kill Esther and her nation is now self-destroyed. Now, and I want to say to you guys that so often the enemy wants to destroy you. He has a whole plan to destroy you, but God has a way to bring turnarounds and twists, supernatural twists into your life. And the enemy will self-destroy himself. And so the story continues. And then chapter 8, Jews are saved, Mordecai is promoted. And then in chapter 9, they are defending themselves. And on the very same day where they were planned to be killed, they are celebrating their victory. Now, the forerunner of joy is often persecution, but the persecution is not the end of the story. I want to bring to you the good news and the bad news. Who wants to hear the bad news first? Who wants to hear the good news first? The bad news, guys. The optimists. They're winning. Yeah, I'm being sarcastic a little bit. Here's the bad news. The enemy hates you, and he has his own plans for your life. That's simply the bad news. But here's the good news. God loves you, and he has a great plan for your life. Amen. Or as we say in this church, God loves you and Miro has a plan for your life. Thank you for laughing. Yeah. Those are the people that laugh. They've had the practical experience. The enemy actually, he gambles with your future. They were throwing lots to choose the day when the whole nation would die, would be killed. The enemy has a plan for your life. Now, this is a striking revelation, but Jesus said that plainly, that the devil, the enemy, he is here to kill you, to destroy you, to steal from you, to rob you. But God is a good God, and He has a good plan with your life, and He wants to bless you. So when you go through persecution, remember Esther. When you go through pressure, through difficult times, remember Esther. Or as we would say, when you go through hell, don't stop. When you go through hell, don't stop there. Come on. Don't stop. Keep going. Keep pushing. Keep trusting God. Keep believing. Keep praying. Because God has a way to bring about a twist, a turnaround in the story, in Jesus' name. Are you ready for point number two? So here's the second point. Joy is always an outcome of defining decisions. Your joy is an outcome of defining decisions. Now see, there is always the anti-joy people. The people that are offended by happiness and by joy. Do you have them in your circle? I hope you're not in that circle. There's always people that prefer the negative scenario. Yeah. So you're like, you come, you're excited, you come to tell them something great, and they're like, yeah, I don't believe you. There's the people that they, you know, they shiver, they tremble in advance because of fear, just to make sure, you know, they don't fall over into some, you know, joy thing. They're offended by joy. If you celebrate, if you rejoice, they are offended. And here's the Christian way. These are the people that spread the probability of the bad news. And they may say, like, it's a prayer request. There is the Christian way how to do that. Yeah, no, I'm all about prayer requests, and we need to pray for one another. But Esther, she is this amazing woman, amazing lady who changed the course of history. And her joy, it was not just an emotion. It was an outcome of the right decisions. Now, see, if we want to enter into the joy of the Lord, we have to make the right decisions. So, I don't know, maybe some of you guys are more emotional. Some would be more sort of rational people. But joy is not just an emotional thing. There's a lot of emotion with joy, but joy is not just a result of emotion. If you feel good, you rejoice. If you feel bad, you don't rejoice. Joy is independent of circumstances. Joy is independent of circumstances. It's something that springs from your connection with God. So it's almost like you have to move outside of the story, move outside of the circumstance, and then look up, see what God is about to do. You find your strength in Him, and then you bring that strength into your situation, and you go on rejoicing that God has a way where there is no way. That's joy. That's what we see in the book of Esther. You know, God is not even mentioned in the whole book. Not once. But Esther, somehow, with Mordecai, they look up. They see God. They pray. They bring God into the situation. And then victory comes, and they celebrate, and there is joy. Now, I want to encourage you guys, whatever you go through, take time to sort of remove yourself from the situation. And then look up, look to Jesus. Get strength from Him, get power from Him, get vision from Him. Bring it down into your situation and release the joy of God into your situation. And there's many stories in the Bible I could go through that basically tell the very same thing. That's the joy that God is talking about. And you know, in this church, by God's grace, we will maintain the culture of joy. Even if we go sometimes to difficult times, we still can carry the spirit of joy, the culture of joy, by God's grace. Yeah? We will step out in courage, we will walk humbly, and we will celebrate every breakthrough from God in our lives. That's the culture of joy. We find a reason to celebrate every time. You can find reasons to get depressed as well, but you can also find reasons to celebrate and to rejoice. And the Bible says, the joy of the Lord shall be our strength. So that's number two. Joy is an outcome of defining decisions. Here is number three. Pure joy comes from simply watching God in action. Pure joy, it's not your product. You know, you don't have to hype yourself into celebrating. It's not like you have to tickle yourself to praise God and to put on a happy face. The best joy comes when you just watch God and you see Him do something amazing, something supernatural. And you're like, wow, this is my God. And that gives me joy. That stimulates my joy. See, God is a strategist. When you read the book of Esther, it's like God is playing chess with the devil. So the enemy makes a move, and then God makes a move. And then the enemy makes another move. And you know, I would imagine like, you know, the angels in heaven, they would go like, oh, what is God going to do now? And maybe I would be like really troubled, you know. How many of you play chess, you know? You know, when you play chess, you don't just play, you play a few steps ahead. In your head, you are a few steps ahead if you want to win, yeah? And so the enemy is making moves, but God is way in advance. He knows from the beginning how it's going to finish. God is a strategist. He is a God of supernatural twists, supernatural turnarounds, supernatural breakthroughs. So even though Haman, he's got his whole strategy, his whole plan to destroy the nation, God is in it. He is above it. He's got the plan. You know, the problem is that his moves are often last minute. That's how it was here. The whole nation is panicking. There is a death date for them. But then God's like, hey, don't worry, I've got it covered. Last minute. I hate it when God does that in my life. Like, God, come on. I need you like yesterday. Where are you? Maybe some of you are adrenaline junkies and you like those scenarios. But I'm like, God, can you come a bit earlier, please? But, you know, that's why the Bible is such a great drama book. And that's why your testimonies are so powerful and you will never forget them. So, friends, when you are in that situation, just remember, it's like remove yourself from the story for a moment. Look up and see your situation from God's perspective. And like we said in one of the earlier messages, when you don't hear God in the story, look for His fingerprints. And finally, number four, the culture of joy requires a festival. Can you say this with me? The culture of joy requires a festival. So let me just read you a passage from the book of Esther. It's in chapter 9. And yeah, so when the death date is actually removed, and instead of the Holocaust, there is now salvation. This is what this passage says. To have them celebrate annually the 14th and 15th days of the month of Adar, as the time when the Jews got relief from their enemies, and as the month when their sorrow was turned into joy and their mourning into a day of celebration. I love this. Their sorrow was turned into joy. Yeah. He wrote them to observe the days as the days of feasting and joy. Remember, it was days of fasting before. Now it's days of, help me out, feasting. And giving presents of food to one another and gifts to the poor. And so the Jews agreed to continue the celebration they had begun. And so basically what's happening here is they started an annual festival. They would do an annual conference, annual festival, annual celebration to remember what God had done in the times of Esther. And I'm going to skip a little bit. Yeah. So, and they plotted against the Jews to destroy them, and they cast the poor, which is the lot, for their ruin and destruction. So the lot that was cast in their language was called poor. So therefore, these days, the days of the festival are called Purim, from the word poor. And so they started an annual festival celebration called Purim. And the name Purim comes from the very plan that the enemy had to destroy them. Do you see the irony there? They celebrate every year a powerful victory, and they called it by the plan of the enemy that was there to destroy them. Wow. And these were going to be days of feasting and joy. And so if you just maybe go back home and Google Purim, you're going to see videos even today of the Jews celebrating this victory centuries later. What was meant to destroy them is now a celebration. And there is dance, there is food, there is music, there is celebration, there is joy as they celebrate the victory, Purim. Now, that's a real fiesta. It's a real celebration, a real party that's happening today because of the joy that came there. Now, I want to say that this is what God is about to do in your life. When you go through the times of pressure and persecution, if you persevere, you're going to have your own testimonies, your own breakthroughs. And God is going to give you enough material to celebrate for decades. You know, in my own life, even today, we celebrate the moments of breakthrough that my parents had, that my grandparents had. Now, you're going to celebrate with your sons, with your grandsons, the breakthroughs in your own life. Because God is a good God. That is the festival of Purim in the life of the Jewish nation. And so, guys, what I want to do now is I want to make a few declarations today. I want to take a few declarations as we close. And I want to invite you to say this with me as we go as we go into these declarations. Now, those are not just some empty words. We're gonna go to the New Testament, the Bible, and declare some of the things that the Bible says. And whatever your depressing moment is, whatever your difficult season is, I would like to invite you to say this with me and to make these declarations over your life as we go from fasting to feasting. Are you ready for that? I wonder if we could all stand. And let's make these declarations together. Here's the first one. 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. This is what it says. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. Because, if we could say this together now. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. I wonder if we can say this as if we believe this. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Do you know that you have the Holy Spirit in you if you are the child of God? If you are a child of God, you carry God within you, inside of you. And because of that, you're greater than any plans of the enemy that is there to destroy you. Come on. Here's another one. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. Amen. So how about we say this together? I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. Come on. If God is your strength, if He's the source of your power, there is nothing that will stop you. I can do all things. You can do all things. Here's another one. Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. So, yeah, let's just declare, let's just speak it boldly by faith. Declare it. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Come on. Come on. You can be confident. You can be confident of this. He who began a good work in you, he's gonna carry it. He's gonna complete it. He's gonna finish it. He who started a good work, he's gonna complete it in your life. Do you believe that? Amen. Do you believe that?